me to the 55th Psalm. I want to make a reading from that particular Psalm. And this is one of my favorite Psalms. And I don't know how many times I've preached a particular lesson out of the 55th Psalm, but I'm never ashamed to go back because there's great truths every time you look at the divine revelation. Begin with me at verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. At this particular time, you'll find that David is troubled. And when you read about the trouble of David, you can find in verse 1 that he's making his prayer to the God of heaven. David recognized where he needed to turn, and thus he turned to God, and he prayed and let God know his supplication. Notice in verse 2, he shows his complaint. He says, I am restless. If you have your Bible, underscore the word restless. Here was a man that was having time and trouble finding peace of mind. And the divine word said that he was restless at that particular time. That his mind did not have peace, but that his mind was filled with trouble, and he was restless. But then if you take your Bible, notice what else the Bible says. He says that the voice of the enemy has brought oppression upon him. At this time, David was feeling oppression, and thus he prays to the God of heaven. And he's asking God to hear his plea, to hear his supplication. Then you'll find in verse 4 that David brings out that his heart is severely troubled. It's pained, even to the point that the terrors of death have come upon him. And he says the horror has overwhelmed him. So when I read those verses, I find a man who's troubled in mind, a man who's depressed, a man who's discouraged, and a man who is looking for some relief. Here was a man at this particular time that on this occasion is wanting to get away from everything that he sees. Then if you look in your Bible in verse 6, he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I've often wondered if David at that occasion may have been looking out the palace window or maybe standing on the roof of the palace and he saw a dove fly by. And David said, you know, I would trade places with that dove in just a moment. Now, one might stop and think, why would David, who was the king of Israel, desire the wings of a dove? Here he is, a man of great power. Here he is, a man of great authority. Here he is, a man of great wealth. And yet that man would rather have the wings of a bird to fly away and get away from everything that he's enduring. I've often thought about that picture of David, where David said, if I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away. So for just a few moments of our time, I want us to examine why David would want to get away. The first thing I want us to understand is David did not have sour grapes. And notice, David is not blaming God for the oppression. Notice, David turned to God in the time of heartache, not away from God. Many people, when trouble comes, they blame God for every heartache, for every trouble, and they turn their back on God. But here was a man that recognized that in the midst of great trouble, he would turn to God, and he was not filled with sourness of grace. But then if you think about something else, David had a lot he had to face at this particular time. When David looked out, he saw his kingdom was divided. Can you imagine his David looked out and he saw some of his own people had turned against him? And no doubt that put a certain amount of pain in the heart of David. That David looked out and saw the kingdom was divided. Here he is. His occupation is to keep the people united. And when he looked out, he saw people had turned against him. It's not unlike in our nation where you see people divided. And David said, I'll tell you, it's enough for me to want to get away and find rest. David said, I'm restless. What I would really like to have is just a moment of rest. David said, I am overwhelmed with the horror of all that I'm facing. And if I could just fly away from it all, if I could sprout wings, I would love to just go back to the wilderness, back to the days of my youth when I was a shepherd boy. Back before all the heartache and the trouble and the trials came upon me, before the tribulations and all the problems I'm facing, David said, if I could fly away, I'd do it with just a snap of a finger. But then think about something else. Not only did David look out and see his kingdom was divided, but David looks out and David recognizes if he goes to battle, he's older now. There was the time that he faced the giant Goliath back in his younger days. But now David realizes he's grown older in years. And David recognizes the battle's going to be more difficult. That age has caught up with him. And David recognizes that when he goes to battle, that he is not the young man he once was. And David is thinking about all the heartache he has experienced. And David just wants to get away from it. But there's a third thing that David's concerned about. When David looked out in the 55th Psalm, David saw when the kingdom was divided, he looked out and he saw the one leading the rebellion, and it broke his heart. Who was it that was leading the rebellion? His own son, Absalom. Can you imagine the pain in the heart of David when he looked out and he saw Absalom going with the people against him? Can you imagine the pain when he saw his own son seeking his seat, his throne, to take his kingdom? To take his kingdom, Absalom would kill his own father. And David looked out at a son that was not only rebellious, but at a son that wanted him dead. And David said, if I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away and get away from every bit of it. Do you not see a man who's depressed? Do you not see a man that's discouraged? Do you not see a man that is overcome with emotion? When he looked out, his heart was broken that his own son would turn on him. But then if you take your Bible and look at the 55th Psalm and you read the words of David, have you ever stopped to think that when David thought about his sin, that no doubt he wished he could have flew away from a tormented memory? The fact that he had committed the sin with Bathsheba and had Uriah the Hittite put to death. And though he'd been forgiven, there's no doubt in my mind that David regretted those things. Though he repented of them, though God forgave him, there was still the consequence of the sin of adultery and the sin of murder. And David, no doubt, wished he could find a way to escape the pain of sin. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will at verse 12. And notice what else is bothering David. David said, it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I would hide from it. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in the throng. David looked out and David looked at the enemy and he said at one time he was my companion, my acquaintance, a man I had fellowship with. This may be speaking of Ahithophel who had turned against David. And David looked out and saw that somebody had turned on him and David said, oh, if I had the wings of a dove, I'd fly away. David said, if I could sprout wings, I would just fly into the wilderness. I would find rest. I would remain away from Jerusalem. I would find peace of mind. I would find that rest that I've been looking for. But notice, my friend, what was David going to do? Because David could not sprout the wings of a dove. David couldn't fly away from trouble. And though David's discouraged, and though David is wanting rest, David recognizes he does not have the ability to just fly away. He can't get away from all the problems. So notice what David does. Open your Bible in the 55th Psalm and notice that this man recognizes where to go. And notice three things with me tonight. If you will, notice he discovers who can give rest. In your Bible, look in verse 16. After David had talked about all of his problems and recognized he can't get away from them, he said, "As for me." I like that. I don't know what you're going to do, but David said, "As for me, I will call upon God." Underscore call. He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour my heart out to the Heavenly Father." And that's what we saw in verse 1 when he said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God." And in verse 16, he said, "God, I'm going to call out to you." And then he makes a great statement, "And the Lord shall save me evening and morning and at noon." David's not just going to call out one time. David's going to call out throughout the day. He's going to make his supplication and prayer made known to God. But notice something else. In verse 17, David takes it a step further. When David recognized that he's not going to be able to fly away, and he recognizes he can't get away from all of his problems, he says in verse 17, and he says, "Evening and at morning and at noon I will pray." And look at the second part. "And cry aloud." Underscore cry. That shows a deeper attitude than just calling. Crying out means you're pouring your heart out to God. You know, there's what we have identified as public prayer. And we say certain things and that's fine. But I'll tell you something, my friend. My public prayer is different than my private prayer. When I'm by myself and I'm praying and I'm driving down the road, or when I'm going through the troubles and trials of life and I'm discouraged and I'm depressed and I'm low, I'll tell you, my friend, I cry out to my God. Unashamedly, I cry out. And I let God know what's going on in my life. And He already knows. And notice what David said. "He shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul," watch it, "in peace." What was he looking for earlier? Peace. Can I tell you something tonight with the love of God in my heart? Sometimes the only place you're going to find peace is in prayer. You're not going to find it in the circumstances of life. You're not going to find it running away. You're not going to find it with other people or with other man-made things. The only place you'll find it is with God. He said, "I'll call, I'll cry." But then notice, if you will, what he says in verse 22. "Cast your burden on the Lord." Underscore cast. I'll call, I'll cry, I'll cast. Cast your burden on the Lord. Why, David? He said, "He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." David said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw my cares." It reminds me of what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7 when he said, "Cast your cares on the Lord." Why, Peter? He cares for you. What is casting? If anyone knew about casting, it would be Peter. What did he do with that net out on the boat? He cast it. What do we do with our burdens? We cast them. We throw them to God. We say, "We can't handle all this." I want to take that and make application in the lesson series. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to escape? Have you ever faced a time in your life where you were low and hurting and lonely and depressed and discouraged? And you were looking for a place to go. And if you had the wings of a dove, you'd have flown away in a heartbeat. I want to be honest with you tonight. I felt that way. I've had some people come up to me and say, "Preacher, you ought not be depressed." Well, I'm not saying what I ought to be and what I ought not be. A person ought not fall from grace, but he falls from grace. And I'll tell you, there are some people that just come up and they'll say, "Now, preacher, you're depressed. Just snap out of it." So I'll just walk around with a smile. How are you, Brother Richardson? Oh, I'm low as a snake, but thanks for asking. I'm smiling for you because you want me to pretend like everything's fine. When sometimes in life it is trouble and hurt. I'll be honest with you. And maybe sometimes I'm too blank open. Sometimes I think my wife gets in the car and looks at me and thinks, oh, you said too much this time. I've been discouraged about some things at Esau. And there's some things that I just can't get out of my mind. And I wake up in the middle of the night and it just bothers me. And I pray about it and I plead with God about it. And there's been times I thought, I know what David felt like. I just want to get away. I feel like Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 9, when Jeremiah was writing and Jeremiah makes a statement, he says, in verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go for them. He said, I want to get away because the problems are crushing me. But I've learned something. You can't get away from problems. Now, you can move, but wherever you move, there's going to be problems. And a change of location doesn't always change the problem. You can look at church problems. Everywhere you go, there's going to be a problem in the local church. I've never found a local church that was problem-free. Everywhere I've been, there's been somebody that got upset about something. And I've sat in enough business meetings to know you're not going to satisfy everybody. And church problems can discourage you. When someone's not living right and you look out at them and they don't seem to care about their own soul and they mock the preaching and that hurts and it cuts to your heart because they look at you as a fool, then you remember exactly what Paul said, that the lost will see preaching as foolishness. There'll be problems in local churches. Even to the point you wish you could get away from them. But I'll tell you, there'll be problems in the family. Oh, don't ever think that there won't be any problems in your family. I remember hearing about a man one time who came and preached a gospel meeting. And he got up and when he preached the meeting, he said that he and his wife never had a cross word. And that when they raised their children obeyed them and got straight grade A's. And made good grades, went off to college, never gave him a bit of trouble. The little boy got into the car with his daddy and he said, Daddy, can we go hear that liar preach again tomorrow night? That's right. You're going to have family problems. There are going to be times that your children will hurt you. There will be times that your spouse will hurt you. There's going to be problems in the family. And I want us to understand, we need to prepare for that. Because you can't fly away. That's the problem with society today in the family life. They think they can leave instead of working it out. We think that we can just go find another one. And what we have today is not polygamy, but we have serial polygamy. They just have one after another after another after another. But then I'll tell you something, you can have a friend betray. That can make you want to fly away. I've had some people say, now, Brother Richardson, as long as you stand up and preach the gospel, we'll be behind you. And when I look back, they were way behind me. If I needed them, I'd have fallen down three times to get to them. And that hurts. You ever had anybody put the knife in your back? And that can cause you to feel low. That can cause you to feel depressed. That can make you feel like you've given up. Or when there's sickness or death. How do we handle it? There's some people here who are taking care of more than one sick person, and my heart goes out to you. I don't know how some people do it. But sometimes when you're tending to the sick, it makes you almost just want to get away because it's a difficult chore to do. You love them, you don't mind doing it, But you see the body being changed and you see the sickness and it makes you just want to fly away. But you can't just leave. So what do? David said, you call, you cry, you cast. But there's something else you do. Open your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 6. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, Nehemiah makes a great statement. Nehemiah is building the walls and they're wanting him to come down. And they're telling him if he don't that there's going to be battle. And he makes a statement. He said, shall a man such as I flee? In verse 11. I can't flee. So what do? I learn to lean. I learn to lean on Jesus. I learn to lean on His Word and trust His Word and trust His promises. And not upon my own understanding as Proverbs 3 talks about, but I lean upon Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, where else are you going to lean? I've had atheists and other people come along and say, oh, they don't believe in God. I tell you what, my beloved friend, you're not going to take my faith from me. Because when I've buried my loved ones and when I've been by myself and I've been discouraged and I've been down in a pit and I've been depressed, the only one I had to lean on was the Lord. And it made all the difference in the world. I want to lean on the Lord. And instead of desiring the wings of a dove, maybe we should read what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, he makes a statement in verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord. Underscore wait. That's hard to do, especially when you're discouraged and you're depressed and you're lonely and you feel heartache and pain and you want to get away. He says, no, don't quit. Don't leave me. He says, wait on the Lord. And he said, those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Instead of the wings of a dove to fly away, we need wings like eagles and not run and not be weary. But finish the course with God. Oh, there have been times I've wished I had the wings of a dove. But God said, desire the wings of an eagle. And never quit serving Him. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, our prayer is that you'll be baptized into Christ and let God be your Father. And when you desire to get away, remember that when this life is over, you'll finally get away from all the heartache, pain, and tears. When you're with Him. He never said this world would be easy. When Brother Robbie started singing, this world is not my home, I looked over at Sam and he was smiling, singing as loud as he could. If a little boy understands this world's not his home, how can we who are older not understand? We were driving the other day and I said, we're almost home. He said, this isn't home. Home is heaven. Oh, my friend, one day we'll fly away. But till then, we wait on the Lord. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?